Good morning. There is one more announcement that we forgot. There's a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall for anyone who would like to bring soup or bread for our Lenten suppers here at Zion. A welcome to our guests and all who are joining us this morning. This morning we start the first Sunday in Lent. Lent starts on Ash Wednesday and goes 40 weekdays and 6 Sundays till Easter. The church has celebrated Lent actually since about the 4th century. And so it is a tradition. It's something that not necessary, but something that was felt by those who made it was good preparation for the coming for the celebration of Easter. And we continue to celebrate Lent because it's always good to realize who we are in this flesh and realize that we are sinners deserving of death. And in doing this, it makes Easter an even greater celebration because it is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we are raised to new life. Jesus did this by fulfilling the law for us. And we will see in our text for this morning one of the greatest examples of this. Sometimes we use this text to guilt people because we don't react in the same way that Jesus does. But we should all remember as we hear this text that it is a victory He won for us. And we don't have to rely on our own strength, but rather His strength and His righteousness. For He is tempted by the lead tempter, Satan himself, and He utterly defeats him. And in this victory, we have victory. And because of this victory, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And I would ask that you would stand as you are able for the hearing of the gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And the tempter came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered it and said, "It is written, man shall not but live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and sits him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship thee." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Please be seated. Our text for this morning comes right after Jesus was baptized by John. And again, I read that text and used that text not too long ago, but to review, baptize and the root of that and all the meaning of that word comes out as a joining. Kind of like fixing dye to a cloth, making it white to purple. That joining. And in Jesus' baptism, he really joins himself to the race. He joins himself to Adam's race of sinners. He goes and is baptized of John for the forgiveness of sins. He's joining himself to us. And immediately after that, he goes where the Spirit leads him. And then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. This is a very important verse because we see here that it was the Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And I think it's very important that we understand that God knew exactly what was going on here. Sometimes we think about temptation and we think, well, the devil brought us there. Or that we, in our sinful nature, brings us there. But in this case, Jesus is led by the Spirit of God. And I was thinking about this, and how opposite it is to what Jesus asks us to pray when he teaches us the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And really, what is going to happen throughout the rest of our text is part of what Jesus has done. Deliver us from evil. Now, Jesus goes in hungry. Jesus has fasted for 40 days. Think about that. It's between now and about Easter, give or take a few days. How many of us would not have a hard time? Well, actually, most of us would never be able to even make that time, especially given the plenty that we have within our nation. And yet, Jesus does this. And so he is hungry. And the tempter approached him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And he answered, "It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." "If you are the Son of God," Satan says, wanting Jesus to prove himself. Now I was thinking about this, and I was thinking actually about teenage boys, and actually about my teenage experience. If you're a man, you'll jump off this bridge. And I jumped off the bridge. And I think that there's all kinds of things within our lives where people ask us, "Will you prove yourself?" And given enough time and enough opportunity to realize the consequences that those things could cause, most of the time we would choose not to. But for many of us, we took the bait. And I don't know for ladies what kind of challenges there are in these things, but I'm sure there's some. But what do they prove? They really prove how ignorant we are. Because our standing in this world does not come from what we do or those challenges that we accept. Our standing in this world comes from God and from what Jesus Christ has done for us. And that His claim and His blood is upon us. And that we are His. And our victory is shown in how Jesus handles this challenge. He comes back with the Word of God. Man must not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now many times, we get from this whole deal, well, you got to memorize Scripture so that you can do this. Memorizing Scripture is not a bad thing. In fact, it's a wonderful thing to know the Word of God. But I remember in Sunday school, I memorized all kinds of Scripture. That was very much a requirement when I went through Sunday school. And when faced with temptation, I can't ever remember pulling out a verse of Scripture. And I used to feel guilty when I read this text, because I'm going, well, I never did that. I just jumped off the bridge. But that's not what this text is all about. This text is about Jesus Christ and what He did. You see, the fact is, in many cases, we are not going to be able to resist temptation. As much as we like to look at ourselves as good and holy people and children of God, we still fall into temptation. But God knew what He was doing when He sent Jesus out into that desert. He knew that His Son, who was now joined to the human race, was not going to fall. This is the start of the triumph over Satan. God became flesh to deal with Satan. And we just heard Jesus use the Word of God to thwart Satan's temptation. And in our next verse, we see that Satan himself uses that Word to try and lay a trap for him. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will give angels orders over you concerning you, and they will support you with their hands so that you do not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus told him, "It is written, you must not tempt the Lord your God." I've preached this text many times. It comes up almost all the time, the first Sunday of Lent. And I realized yesterday as I was going through it that this is the first time I realized that as soon as Jesus uses the Word of God, Satan takes that Word and tries to twist it. And this happens all the time. People use the Word of God for their own purposes. And so it is very good to be very familiar with what it says. But to me, this is actually kind of funny. Satan. Is about to use the Word of God to try and trick or try and tempt the Word incarnate. This is silly. When you actually think about it, Satan is up there going, "Hey, let me trick you with your own words." There is no way. Who knows the Word better than the Word incarnate Himself? Jesus knows the Word far better than any human being alive, because He is it. And He knows that none of us, including Himself, are to tempt God. Has God made promises for us? Yes. But we have no need to put them to the test, and neither did He. And yet, in many cases, we kind of do that. In that, when we're in the midst of sin, or in the midst of the consequences of sin in our lives, or even just in a mess, we start to bargain with God. "Hey God, you know, if you get me out of this mess, well then I'll make sure I do this, this, and this for you." And usually those promises that we make to God after we're out of the mess, we end up dropping the ball. But Jesus knew. He knew what was going on. And He knew that if He jumped off the pinnacle of that temple, that we would all face the consequences for His sin. And this victory that Jesus has here is, again, another victory for us. So that when we do slip up, when we do fall into sin, we can know that Jesus has had victory over sin. We can pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and move on in the victory of Jesus Christ. And the next thing that Jesus faces is something that I'm sure might sound good in many ways. But as I said before, Jesus Christ knew the reason that He had come to earth. He knew why He was sent by God the Father. And this verse is directly against what Jesus had came for. Again, the devil took Him to a very high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And He said to Him, I will give you all these things if you fall down and worship Me. And Jesus said, Go away, Satan, for it is written, You must worship the Lord your God and must serve Him only. I said earlier that Jesus knew the reason He was sent to earth. And we really don't know if Satan knew, but this verse here tells me he might not have. Because Jesus knew that He was going to take on the sin of the world. Jesus knew that a new kingdom was coming. And even as He stood on that mountain and Satan showed Him all the glory of those kingdoms, He knew the corruption. He knew the crud that was beneath that glory. For He knows each and every one of us. He knows the sin that is in each and every one of us. And He knew that getting the kingdom in that way was not the kingdom He wanted. Jesus tells us quite directly, or at least He tells Pilate quite directly, that His kingdom is not of this world. He did not come to set up an earthly kingdom or to rule over an earthly kingdom. And so, to me, in this one actually becomes very easy for Him. Because He knows He's not here to do that. He's come to set up a very different type of kingdom. And His kingdom is much harder. Because for Him to establish His kingdom, He must go through all the things that we're going to take a look at in the next weeks. He must be rejected by His own people. He must be betrayed by one of His own disciples. His own religious leaders will call to have Him crucified. And the Gentile Roman leaders will bring Him out and beat Him, mock Him, and His blood will flow. And then soldiers will nail Him to a cross. And He will die. When Jesus turned down this temptation, this is what it meant for him. Because it meant he had to go all the way. All the way to that hill on Golgotha. And to the grave. But in doing what he has done, he was serving God. And now that man, who joined himself to us, the human race, and was not tempted by Satan, and allowed himself to go to his death and shed his blood for our sins, is raised by God the Father. And in being raised, and that he is joined to us, we are also raised with him. And this is the victory. You see, God knew exactly what he was doing when he led Jesus out into the desert. And he knew his son was not going to fail him. That he was going to have utter and complete victory over sin, death, and the devil. And that's really what this text demonstrates. It demonstrates the ultimate power that God has over Satan. We sometimes have this thick, sick thing that somehow Satan is as powerful as God. That's because the movies come out and that's what happens. It's almost a nip-tuck battle of who's going to win. It's not a nip-tuck battle. God has destroyed the power of Satan through His Son, Jesus Christ. And it is a victory that you can live in each and every day of your life. And afterwards, God refreshed his son. The devil left him, and immediately the angels came to serve him. After the victory, the one that was really never in doubt. No doubt it was a struggle. But the victory was never in doubt. Because God, as we heard in our text from Romans, said this, therefore, if the offense of judgment came upon all men to the condemnation, even so by the righteous men of the one free gift came upon all men to justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It is Jesus Christ's righteousness and what he did in his life, his death, in his resurrection that gives all of us victory and hope in this world and sure hope that we will see it face to face in the next. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and give you thanks. Thanks that you have demonstrated through your Son your victory over Satan. Father, help us to live in that victory. Help us, Father, to continue to live and to proclaim that victory to others, that they too would know that the forgiveness that you have given them through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, bless us as we leave here. Help us to go out into this world and into our communities, our neighborhoods and our homes, and spread this message. To love our neighbor as you have loved us, so that they too can know of the victory that you have won for them. Father, we thank you for this great blessing through your Son, Jesus Christ. And is in His name that we pray. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.